finally, we came around the front of Diamond Head. We saw this rainbow of balloons. We're both dog tired. And we come through this balloon rainbow, and it's not the finish line. It's another 1,000 yards or so. Where's the finish line, you know? From a long ways back, he had enough energy to get to the balloons. But it was just sort of like, welcome, keep going kind of thing, you know? And I could see him just lose heart. You've just found out that you've been running to the wrong finish line.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. As we prepare to enter a new year, this might be a good time to reflect back over the past and see if we're in need of any course corrections along the way. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Gift of New Beginnings.
Let me ask you as we begin this, how many of you ever need a new beginning? Raise your hand. How many of you have received a new beginning and in short order had messed things up so bad you needed a new beginning again? Yeah, all right. You know, God knew that. He knew that. So that when he created us, if he wanted to, when he created man, he could have just started us on one long day. So eternity was just one long time continuum. And you just kind of had to live until you died. But you know what? Instead of just having one long day, because he could have, instead, God broke up that time continuum into microscopic increments where in 24-hour segments, everything would start afresh. The sun would once again come up. You'd see new growth. There would be a freshness in the air. 24-hour segments called days. Now, he could have just had one long day, but instead he broke them up. Why? Because he knew that you and I needed new beginnings, a multitudinous amount of new beginnings. Because he knows our frame, as Psalm 103 says, and he knows we're but dust, and we need new beginnings. And as the night finishes and day begins, we have a new beginning. We can start afresh. That's why in the book of Ephesians, it says, do not let the sun go down on your, remember what it said? Your anger. Do not let the what? The sun go down on your anger. You know why? Because God is saying that when the day is done, you need to complete it. Your anger, any problems you have, you need to leave it because there's a new beginning starting. And you gotta start afresh. And you don't wanna carry yesterday's poops into tomorrow's freshness. You wanna leave. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, which means don't carry your anger into the next day. In fact, in the creation of time, if you'll read it in the book of Genesis chapter 1, he's talking about creating the new days, and he creates the world in what the Bible terms as 7 days. But I want you to see something. And you can go back and read it. But when he starts a new day, a new beginning, it doesn't say, okay, the morning started and ended at night. No. If you read it, it says, and there was evening and morning, a first day. And he creates, and there was evening and morning, a second day. And I always thought, why does God start the day with evening and then morning? Why? Because listen carefully, God knew that you will not be able to have a new morning unless you shut the door first on yesterday. You don't carry yesterday into tomorrow. There was evening, shut, and morning, new beginning. And he did that in 24-hour increments so that mankind would have a multitude of new beginnings. That's how he created us. And we as God's people actually have to learn to receive new beginnings. Lewis Smedes, in his book called Love Within Limits, says this. Check this out. If you're a person who understands love, you will understand that love lets pasts die. Love does not have to and demand to clear up all past misunderstandings. The details of the past become irrelevant. Only its new beginnings matters. Accounts can go unsettled. Differences may remain unsolved. Ledgers can stay unbalanced. Conflicts may go unsettled between people, and their memories of how things happened are not needing to be cleared up. Only tomorrow matters. It's a new day. Love's power does not make fussy and picky historians out of people. Love prefers to tuck the loose ends of past rights and wrongs into the bosom of forgiveness and pushes us, invites us, woos us into a new beginning. You see, that's what God does. That's what God does. Let's read Lamentations 3 together in your notes right at the top. You ready? Go. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. For his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Did you catch that? Why are we not consumed? It is by God's what? It is by his mercy. If God were a fussy historian, and if God were picky on the details of your and my life, we would be consumed. But God, by his grace, tucks in all the loose ends of our lives into his bosom of forgiveness that was purchased at the cross, and his mercies are new every what? Morning. How many of you are glad for that? You see, God gives us new beginnings. That's how he is. And he offers us that, and we need to learn to receive that. Let's read the next scripture together. Ready? Go. We do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Circle those words. Renewed day by day. Do you understand God's plan for us? Today, we get to be renewed. Don't pass it by. Don't take yesterday's past failures and spoil today with it. Remember, he could have given you one long day to live, but instead he broke it up into 24-hour segments. It was evening and morning the first day. Evening, shut the door. Morning, fresh new beginnings. I want to talk about the gift of new beginnings, and especially now as we enter a new year. Because you see, often people live lives like amateurs ride bicycles, where they pump really hard, you know, and like when I was a kid, I'd pump really hard and then I'd coast to see how far I could coast so I don't have to pump anymore. Then I'd coast and rest and coast until the momentum is lost, and then everything begins to slide until I finally grind to a halt. We live life that way. Happens in marriage. When we're dating, and we put our best foot forward. We're just really going, doing the best we can, gaining some speed, right? We just really go hard. I mean, you look at young guys that are in love that are usually, you know, just rubbish heaps that are walking. And all of a sudden, they're in love. It's like they take a bath for the first time. They comb their hair. They wear deodorant. They even tie their shoes. It's amazing. But once they get married, we coast and see how long we can coast until it grinds to a halt and everything slows down. That happens at work. We go real hard till we get the job and we kind of get our position and we just coast. We do that in school, in college. We do that in starting a new year. And we coast, try to coast all the way through December, starting in February. And even in our relationship with Christ, when we first came to Christ, how we would work real hard to make sure our life gets into play so that it's in line with God's course of things. And we discipline ourselves and we change some habits, and then we just try to coast. And everything grinds to a halt. And it's at that point the symptoms start popping up where God shouts at us and says, "You need a new beginning, Wayne." What are some of the symptoms that shout at us? The first is there's going to be an increased pain in your life. And this happens even as a Christian. But then increased pain. That's a symptom. Often, you see, we don't want to change things because when we're coasting, it feels so good. But we don't want to change. You know why? Because it requires something called discipline. We got to change this habit, got to get up a little earlier. We got to go to church when I want rather sleep in. And at first it was all right. We were pumping those pedals, but we're coasting now. We kind of want to go back a little bit. But the discipline required to get out of the slump is painful. And so in order to get us out of the slump and rise above this rubble, you know what God has to do? He has to increase the pain of the rubble. So the pain of changing is less than the situation we're in. Because right now, the pain of changing is more than sitting here, so I just stay. So you know what God has to do? Increase the pain. So the pain of remaining the same is greater than the pain that is required to change. Now, I'm going to tell you a secret of life that if you'll catch this, it'll help you immensely. Paul says in the book of Timothy, it says, discipline yourself for the sake of godliness. Bodily discipline is profitable for a few things, but godliness is profitable unto all things. But you've got to discipline yourself for that, which means initiate when God speaks to you about changing this habit, changing the way I speak, changing the way I live, or the way I treat people. When the Lord speaks that to me, I've got to change. Oh, yeah, I know. I got to maybe do this change, do that differently, get away from this relationship, stop reading those kinds of things, stop going to those kinds of movies. But the discipline is painful. But listen carefully. Here it is. If on a scale of 1 to 10, disciplining yourself to be more godly, oh, that's hard to get up in the morning, read my Bible. Oh, if that's up like at on a scale of 1 to 10, that's 8. The pain of discipline to do what God's asking me to do is like an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10. Then in order to get me to change, you know what God has to do with the situation I'm in? He has to increase the pain of the situation so that the pain has to become a 9 or a 10 in my life in order for me to change. Because then the pain of changing is less than the situation I'm in. But right now, stuff that's going on, it's about a 7 or a 6 or so. But to change, it's still too hard. So I excuse it, I dull it, I make rationalizations until God has to increase the pain. But then when you change, now you have to deal with all of the problems that may even have caused irreparable damage because you allowed it to go so far before you changed. It's sort of like if my fingers are dull to heat and it's dull to change and slow to change, I could be leaning on a hot oven, a hot stove, and it's burning my fingers. And finally, when the pain threshold is so high, ouch, then I pull it off. Well, it's a little too late. And though I did make the change, now I have to deal with all of the damage that slow response has caused. But if you make a choice and say, no, I'm going to make the pain of discipline of reading my Bible or doing what God is asking me to do or getting to church or changing the way I speak to my spouse or children, whatever, or the way I think or the things that go on in my head that I allow and give audience to that I know are not godly. If I say, that's it, I'm going to stop that. When it comes into my head, nope, I'm not going to do it. And if I say, you know what, the discipline on a scale of 1 to 10 in order to change, I'm just going to make it maybe a 3. It's not that painful to change. I'm just going to choose to change. Then when the situation that you're in gets to be about a 4 in the pain threshold, you change. And do you see how much problems you can escape and all of the irreparable damage that you'll never have to experience because you changed the area of discipline in your life? So one of the areas where when God wants us to change and get a new beginning, one of the symptoms is an increased pain. Number two, with the increased pain comes increased consequences. Families start to fall apart. Friendships start to lag. Our own life goes bad. And number three, an increased dissatisfaction. You just start to get dissatisfied with things in your life. And what you dreamed isn't coming to pass. What you thought was what you really wanted isn't. But I want you to know that when these things are happening, increased pain, increased consequences, and increased dissatisfaction, I want you to know that renewal and a new beginning is right around the corner. Because often God allows these things to escalate because He's leading you to a brand new beginning where life commitments are made, where you're at the crossroads of a brand new future. Take it. Don't give up. Because often when there's increased pain and then there's increased consequences, then increased dissatisfaction, what we want to do at that point is give up instead of press on. That's a natural tendency. But God is saying just around the corner, there's help. And you're going to be dissatisfied because maybe the finish line you were running to ends up to be nothing. It wasn't really what it was cracked up to be. What you thought, what you had as an expectation, now you arrive there and you think, oh, why have I put in so much time into getting this position at work and stepping on people or trying to get this thing or that thing? And we find, well, wait a minute, that's going away from God's best. We find we've run to the wrong finish line. Some years ago, I was running the Honolulu Marathon, and a friend and I decided to run it in November. Now, December's the marathon. You don't ever do that. That's demented to think you can just run the marathon without practice. You usually start a year before. Well, the marathon started, and after about 20 miles, every step I took, it was like someone was driving an ice pick into my thigh, bang, and then my left, bang, and then my right, and my Nikes were on fire every step that I took. Finally, we came around the front of Diamond Head, and the friend that I was running with, his name is Chet, we saw this rainbow of balloons down there at Kapiolani Park. So he thought, yes, I can make it, and we're both dog tired, and we're running. Now, he starts speeding up. And I thought, oh, I hurt so bad. But, you know, I'm kind of competitive. So I say, he ain't going to beat me. And And I start running. And we come through this balloon rainbow, and it's not the finish line. It's another 1,000 yards or so. And I ran by him. You could see his eyes like, where's the finish line, you know? And I just keep running right by him. I just run. And as I got about 10 yards in front of him, I saw his heart just drop. Because from a long ways back, he had enough energy to get to the balloons. But it was just sort of like, welcome, keep going kind of thing, you know? And I could see him just lose heart. And I had to slow down and say, come on, you can do it. You can do it. It's just right there. And he just wanted to drop out. No way. And so that year, I have a picture of us coming across the finish line, and my arm is around him. And we, you know, the picture looks like, oh, buddy's coming across the finish line. I was pulling him by the ear to get him across the line. And you know, a lot of times, but about the time where your dissatisfaction increases, a lot of times it's because you've just found out that you've been running to the wrong finish line. And it's not what it's cracked up to be. And you've been putting effort into something that's not what God's design was for you. And you want to give up. And you want to call it quits. And you want to throw in the towel. And that happens. I tell you, when that happens, press on. Because the new beginning is just around the corner. Now the devil right there will see that that's an opportune moment. And he will hit you so hard. You'll want to commit suicide. You'll want to drop out. You want to throw in the towel on your marriage, your friends, your faith. Right there, you press on because help and newness and a new beginning is right around the corner. I'll tell you now, I'm going to say this kind of a, some of you will go, woo, that's a little weird, but listen very carefully. There's going to be times when you're discouraged and you'll get up on a Sunday morning and you'll have every excuse to sleep in. And you'll feel like it's just, oh man, I just want to stay in bed. But you know what? When the devil knows that I'm going to, or whoever the speaker is going to say something that's going to really help you and encourage you and motivate you afresh. Now, again, the devil can't read minds, but he sees what I'm studying and he sees my notes. And when he knows that that's exactly what you need, brother, that's exactly what you need, sister, you watch. That morning, you will have every excuse to sleep, and you'll go, oh, ora so on my body. I'm going to stay in bed. Give me some aspirin. Oh, it's cold outside. Oh, it's raining outside. Farrington is so dreary when it rains. I want to stay in bed over here because the fan is on, and that Farrington is so sweltering, hot. You'll have every excuse. A friend will call you to go golf, to go fish, do anything. But anything to get you to stay away, because the enemy knows, and he's a strategist. Remember, though the enemy is defeated, he's not stupid. He's going to do his best to steal, kill, and to destroy you. And so when he knows that there's something that's so important for your heart, your spirit, your family, every excuse in the world is going to bubble up for you to stay away. And if you succumb to that and you give in to that, there will be a sinister victory that he's going to proclaim. Boy, I tell you, when that happens and when you think, oh man, there's so many excuses to stay, I want you just all of a sudden to pop out of bed. Ho! I know what the devil is trying to do. Man, you put on your clothes and you zip down over here. Because there's something really important for you to hear. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Remind each other of that now. So you say, all right, I've gone through the increased pain and increased consequences, and there's an increased dissatisfaction. How can I get a new beginning? Well, let's read in Psalm 119 and see what God says. Ready? Go. Revive me according to thy word. Would you underline thy word? Where does the reviving come from? Thy. Yeah, listen. Only true renewing will come through the accordance of his word. You will not get a new beginning by trying a new companion or getting on a new high or finding a new boyfriend or a girlfriend or a new job or location or, ladies, a new hairdo. You know, and that's not going to give you the new beginnings that you really need. The best reviving new beginning comes according to God's what? Word. So stay with what he says. And in Revelation chapter 2, the most succinct plan for renewal is put out in one verse. Let's read it. Ready? Go. You have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen, repent, and do the deeds you did at first. Very simple three steps for new beginnings. And here's the first one. Would you write it in? It says, remember from where you have fallen. Would you write in your notes, remember? That's the first step. Remember from where you have fallen. You see, if I need a new beginning, then somewhere I have fallen away. And I've got to remember from where I have fallen, from where I have fallen, which means, Wayne, get a clear assessment of where you should be and where you are in reality. A clear aspect of that. You see, often we know what's right, but we see ourselves drifting away. I know I should be doing this, but ah. I know I should, but ah. And we just drift through compromise. And I know what I should be doing, but I don't discipline myself. I allow circumstances to get so bad and so stink that it forces me to change. And by that time, there's irreparable damage done. God is saying, you need constant renewal, then here it is. The first is always be looking, having a clear assessment of where you're at right now in relationship to where you should be. And often I know, but I do something wrong anyway. But the Bible says that reviving or renewing or new beginnings comes according to his what? His word. But I know your word, but I compromise anyway. You know what James says? If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he deceives himself. You know what? It's pretty bad to lie to somebody else. You know what's really bad? When I start lying to myself. And then the drift is on. And so I have to be willing to see where I am and be open to the fact and say, yep, there's a clear assessment. I'm here. I should be here. Until you do that, there is no way back. You don't have the course back. You don't know which way to go. Let's read what Psalms 32 says. Ready? Go. When I was silent about my sin, my body wasted away. What was he saying? He's saying when I denied my sin, when I denied the fact that I'm away from God, I'm okay, I love God, yeah. And we just know that we're just blowing smoke. And I'm lying to myself. God says, don't do that, Wayne. Don't do that. When I'm silent about my sin, what happens? My body wastes away. You know what it's saying? When I deny my poor relationship with God and make up some nice rationalization and some nice religious phrases, God says, not only, Wayne, are you lying to yourself, but number two, it's going to affect everything about your life. Your body will start to waste away. And so remember from where you have fallen.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled The Gift of New Beginnings by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. In fact, tomorrow we'll hear a testimony from a former convict, a guy who spent most of his life behind prison bars. He'll share how he found the gift of new beginnings in Jesus Christ. Now, for Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope Christian Fellowship, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a Happy New Year. Our prayer is that it may be the best year ever for you and those whom you love. Hauʻoli makahiki ho.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.